Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Of course, you want a knockout, but the fight ended like this, it worked out.
Sabina, Colombian Queen, Mazo!
Oh, there it is.
There's the tap, quickly, another submission finish.
Boy.
Mackenzie Dern.
But I'm ready for anyone. I feel really champ material right now.
Mackenzie Dern!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Hello.
Take nine.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Matt and I are going to be joined today by Sabina Mazo, as well as Mackenzie Dern. And I just kept flubbing the intro because I'm stupid.
No, stop it. Don't say
thank you, Matt. It's very kind.
Jimmy, this is the first time we're ever talking to Sabina.
Yes, it is.
You know, Sabina Mazo. That's a cool name.
It is a cool name. She's fighting on this Mackenzie Dern main event. Was this always the main event? We were talking before. Maybe it was. I just don't. And didn't realize it was. There's a couple of really good fights. Our buddy Randy Brown is fighting Jared Gooden. Randy's coming off a win over Oliveira, and that should be a great fight as well.
Why don't we discuss the whole card later? Because I like to keep everybody in suspense, and I'm like just reading about it now, so I'm getting excited. I want to talk about each fight in detail, and you know how much I love Mackenzie Dern because I am a jiu-jitsu man.
Oh, she's amazing. And she's nice, too. She's a nice person.
Yeah, she's just so great. I love her jiu-jitsu. But right now, Jimmy, right this second, we got Sabina Mazo. Let's get to know her.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good, good.
Nice to meet you, Sabina.
Nice to meet you, too. What's your name? Sorry, Matt, right?
I'm Matt, and that's my little friend, Jimmy.
I'm Jim.
Hey, Jim.
But if you mix us up, it'll be a great insult to Matt, not me. If you mix us up. Where are you right now?
I'm in the hotel right now, the UFC hotel. So, yeah, just finished some training, you know, stretch a little bit, and then, you know, getting ready for all this media day. I'm really excited.
Do you like media day? Fighters are interesting. Some fighters love media day. Some fighters, it's distracting and they don't like it.
I mean, I think it's just part of the job, you know, you like it or not, you got to do it. So I really try to do it like with the best attitude possible and try to get the profit from it, you know, because I feel it's one of the opportunities you have to show yourself. And of course the fight, but the interviews is just part of it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Sabina, people want to get to know you, you know, they want to know the person, you know, that's fighting that cage. What's the first discipline that you started with?
So I started actually with jiu-jitsu. For jiu-jitsu was like the first thing I tried in a gym. You know, I didn't know anything about martial arts or fighting or absolutely anything. And I just, you know, life took me to this gym and I tried jiu-jitsu. I tried other stuff. I didn't like it. I didn't like Muay Thai at the beginning. But, you know, after I was like 6 months in jiu-jitsu, I started boxing. I fell in love with it. And And I don't know. I feel like those two were like the really key things that engaged me in the sport.
How old were you when you started training?
I was 15, almost 16 years old when I started.
Yeah. Was there anything that motivated you to do it? Was it just something you wanted to do? Or was it just somebody in your family train? Or what was it that made you want to do it?
No. So there's absolutely no one in my family that trains or fight or do any other sport. You know, they always been like in business and stuff. So I don't know. I feel like since I was young, I tried a lot of sports, you know, but I didn't engage that much. I was very active. I tried everything, climbing, soccer, you know, I tried everything, but nothing really, you know, put that passion into it. And so, yeah, I think it was more like a decision I took, like as a teenager, I was like, oh, I'm going to try this. Looks cool. And they did it.
What was it like growing up in Colombia?
Man, I loved it. You know, I think I never told before, but the first 3 years of my life, I grew up in Miami.
Oh.
But I was born in Colombia and I lived in Miami and then went back to Colombia when I was 3-4 years old. So I get to see these different worlds. And so it was very interesting, you know, but I don't know. And Colombia was great. You know, I grew up more like in the countryside. I never lived in the city. So for me, it was just always like connecting with the nature. I had dogs. I always tried, you know, running in, you know, the forest almost and riding my bike. So, yeah, it was kind of adventurous.
What part of Colombia?
Medellin.
Oh, okay. That's like the biggest city. Is that bigger than Bogota?
No. Bogota, it's way bigger. But it's one of the like more like recognized cities in Colombia.
And when you said something interesting, you talk about climbing. You talk about rock climbing?
Yeah, rock climbing. I tried different. I started like just like the regular ones and then rock climbing and then, you know.
How long did you do that for?
No more than a year. You know, I was very young. I was like 12 years old. So it was no more than a year. But I really like heights. So that was why I liked it. And after that, I did silks. That's like another, I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. But it's also with, you might have seen in the circus, like this long.
Oh, stilts. Yeah, sure.
Stilts, yeah. So that's also with heights. And I don't know, I really like it. So
I was thinking about walking around with some stilts. I'm a short man.
So that's just so he can reach the sink.
Don't say that in front of Sabina. That's not nice. I'm a 5'6 man. So just walking around with stilts, I just might see how the other half lives, you know? Forget about that, Sabina. Anyway, back to
climbing. The climbing thing, because this is why I'm asking about climbing. You did it when you were younger, but the finger strength you need to climb is incredible. It really strengthens fingers. Like, I imagine that's got to help in jujitsu for grips and for strength when you have that background. If your fingers already are stronger than the average person.
Yeah, you know, I feel all the sports I did, I can relate them to MMA. Honestly, like you said, like the climbing. The silks too, you know, you really have to have a lot of strength in your core, in the grip of your hands to hold yourself in, you know, in the air. So, yeah, I feel like everything I did is kind of connected and took me to the place I am. So, yeah.
When you're on stilts, how do you get up in the air? Like, what's the way of doing it?
Well, so you have, basically it's two silks, two big ones, you know, and, there's very different forms of going there, but usually it's just wrapping yourself in the silk. And there's, of course, techniques, and that's going to make you climb up, you know, but it's a lot of arm strength and core strength. You know, you can go up different ways, but basically you really have to use your arms.
Wait a minute. I think we're thinking the same thing, Matt. We misunderstood you. You're saying silks?
It's silks, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the silk things that people hang from.
Yes.
We thought you meant stilts that you walk, because you said circus. No. Matt and I both thought you said stilts.
Jimmy, no wonder why she didn't get my joke. It wasn't the joke that was bad.
I got it, but no, it was not. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Then the joke was bad.
Yeah.
But my thing was, we thought stilts, but you silks.
Silks. That makes more sense. But they both have something to do with heights. But stilts, I was wondering, because stilts aren't that high. It's a few feet. But yeah, silks, you climb way up and you it's like acrobatic.
Yeah, exactly.
because the next question I was going to have was, why would anybody want to walk around on stilts? But yeah, you answered that.
I wonder that too. You know, I really have to ask someone that.
And you know what's funny is that, like, you hear about people that are afraid of heights. You hear about people that don't mind heights, but who the heck likes heights?
Yeah.
I never heard of anybody.
Me neither.
Heights.
I mean, it's fear, you know, of course. I don't know if it's just the feeling of liking it, because when I'm going up there, it's not like, oh, I love this. No, but it's just the adrenaline that goes on you. You know, you're up there and you really have to do things well. Now you're going to fall and you're going to hurt yourself. So I don't know. It's kind of that adrenaline that powers me, you know, and at the end I like it. So
when we said about, I'm sorry, not to get back to the stilt thing, my question was going to be, it's not a question now, because I was so fascinated with her walking around on stilts. I was going to say, in jiu-jitsu you break fall, how would you break fall with stilts? But forget the question about, let's get that out of our head about the whole stilts thing, Jimmy.
Yeah. Sabina, did you ever watch videos of those guys who are like urban climbers and they climb buildings without any, they just have like chalk?
Oh yeah, no, that's insane. That's insane. That's kind of risky, you know. I just leave it to them. I like to see the videos, but yeah, that's too much.
Would you ever do this? I had an ex-girlfriend years ago. We were in Vegas, and you know the tower in Vegas, the giant stratosphere tower?
Yeah.
You can jump off that. You can jump off it, you're harnessed in, but you can, it's like a controlled descent. Would you do that?
I think so, yeah. You know, since I was young, my dad always took me to roller coasters and took me like everywhere. So I think I would, you know, in the right time. I already did like, what's the name of it? Like jumping from an airplane. Forgot the name.
Skydiving.
Okay. Skydiving, yeah. I liked it a lot. I honestly want to learn a little bit more about that. So yeah, I am. I like it.
You sound like an adrenaline junkie. You sound like, you're not gonna be like the female Cowboy Cerrone, are you? Are we gonna see you in one of those squirrel suits when you jump out and you're flying?
Yeah, oh man, that's crazy. That's another level. I'm not there.
Yeah.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one sister. She's older.
Now, is she like you, or like, are your parents like you? Like, were they like a lot of adrenaline, or are you kind of different than anybody in the family?
Well, in that sense, we are kind of similar. You know, she likes adrenaline too, but we are completely different. You know, we don't even look alike.
Well, how did your family and your mom and dad feel about you fighting?
Well, my mom, it's always like freaking out, honestly, but she supports me 100%. Like from the beginning, she supports me. My dad supports me. They like to watch the fights, support. You know, but yeah, my mom gets super nervous, and she always tells me, look, when you fight, I have to have like a bottle of some alcohol because I cannot handle the fight. I cannot see you then. So, but she supports. So, yeah.
So I'll tell you, you enjoy these things that give you that rush.
Yeah.
Tell me about the feeling when you win a fight. How does that feel? Isn't that the ultimate? Yes.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Cause I feel that victory, it's not only the 15 or 25 minutes you were there, but like, it's been a long time, you know, you're preparing for a fight, you know, like fight week, for example, it's a lot of hard work. You're putting, you're cutting weight, you're putting your body into, you know, a state that not a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, stepping in there and doing your job, it's just the best feeling ever, for sure.
Yeah. What did you want to do before? I'm always interested in what somebody wanted to do before. Like when you were a kid, what did you think you were going to wind up doing? Was there something you wanted to go to school for, and then fighting just kind of is the direction you went in?
Yeah. So I always liked medicine. I love biology. Honestly, I still study it. But one of my plans was going to medical school, you know, and go that direction. But fighting got in the way. So I'm here.
And would you want it to be a doctor, or do you want it to be on the lab end?
No, I wanted to be a doctor.
Any kind in particular?
Well, in that time, I liked to be a surgeon, but honestly, I don't know. I never studied, so I don't know.
I watch a lot of those shows like 600 Pound Life, and then you watch the guy go in and do like stomach surgery. I mean, I wouldn't have the confidence to do it. I wouldn't, even no matter how much I knew, I couldn't go in there and cut somebody open and have the faith that I wouldn't screw it up.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta work.
Yeah. So you think you would have done well in medical school?
I do think, yeah. You know, I always had this since I was young that everything that I dedicated, I was doing well. You know, I had times I was the nerd in school and I did really good. And then I got tired and I was like, okay, no, whatever. I'm going to go do, I don't know, tennis, you know, and I dedicated and I focused on that. So I feel like where I put my eyes and my will, I achieve stuff.
I'll tell you, you brought up that 600-pound life. I watch that to keep me on a diet.
Yeah.
That show is nasty. Hey, let me ask you, Sabina, as a young lady, what are you watching on Netflix? I always like to find, we always like to, or you on any kind of streaming service. Are you watching any kind of series or anything? We always like to, me and Jimmy, we always like to get turned on to new shows.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. You know, I have some times that I can't handle anything and I just watch old movies. Others sometimes I'm like, oh no, I'm going to try, you know, and these days I tried the Serpent, I think is the name of it.
Ooh. I see.
I like it. Yes. I like that one. The thing is that I kind of lose attention after like 30, 40 minutes. I'm like, that's it. I have to do something different, you know? So it has to, I haven't finished. It's only like 8 episodes and it's been like 2 months or something like that.
Well, I'm glad you're not a surgeon, by the way. If you lose focus after 20 or 30 minutes, that'd be a very scary. You'd be halfway through it. Hey, I'm fucking bored.
Hey, that show, The Serpent, that was with the guy that's like based on a true story. The person that was drugging and tourists and keeping them like ill and right. That's the one. That
yeah,
was like,
yeah, yeah.
In Colombia.
That was Thailand.
Thailand, way off. I knew it was somewhere foreign, but yes, that was Jimmy. Very disturbing show. What she
told. Yeah, is it a true story or is it made up?
Yeah, it's based on a true story, isn't it?
I think so, but you know how it's Hollywood. You never know.
You never know, but very disturbing nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know. You watch something, you're like, you get a strong feeling about it. You're like, oh, it was all bullshit. Yeah. I try to look online and whatever I watch and see if I can find out what's true and what wasn't true. And usually they take a little license. Well, look, it was, it's fun talking to you and getting to know you and good luck on Saturday. And, you're a really interesting person and I'm looking forward to seeing this fight and, come back on with us again. It'd be good to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by P3, the official protein snack of the UFC. P3 portable protein packs are a savory and crunchy combination of 3 dynamic sources of protein from meat, cheese, and nuts. Each P3 pack contains up to 13 grams of protein, and they come in great tasting combinations like turkey, almond, and Colby Jack. P3, 3 dynamic ways to fuel your day with protein packed meat, cheese, and nuts, because 3 is better than 1.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. I never met anybody who liked heights. Like, I mean, like who, like, I meet people who don't mind them, but I've never met anybody who's like, I love heights.
Jimmy, we were way off with the stilts thing.
We both heard it. And then she said circus.
I'm like, oh, shit. We belong in a circus.
Well, silks is a weird thing. Like, I've never heard that term in an athletic way before, silks. I've never heard that. So obviously, we both just heard stilts like idiots.
And then I just started picturing her walking around on stilts. I'm like, why would you even want to do that?
That's why I asked, because, and then she said, you wrap yourself up in them. I'm like, in stilts? But I'm so unathletic that it's like, yeah, that could happen, I guess. I don't know.
If you didn't catch on, the next question was going to be like how she breaks falls. If she falls, she's probably just still going to be a couple idiots.
She's right.
The best.
She's 100% right. We are.
And my joke was with, she goes, no, I got it. She got the joke. Anyway.
Yeah. She was like, no, I understood. It didn't lose me. Which made me very happy.
Oh, shit. Listen, we have
Kenzie coming on soon.
We have a few minutes to talk about the fights this weekend. You know what I mean? If you want to do that.
Sure, buddy. Let's do that.
Did you see the Many States of Newark yet?
It's funny. I just started watching it before the show today. So again, I'm only 10 minutes into it. So it's hard to say.
So what's, oh, really? Only 10 minutes?
I have not heard good things, but I'm still going to watch it.
You know what's funny, man? I heard the new Dune is coming out. So I tried to watch the old Dune. Dude, that's a rough one to get through.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, well, dude, it's a rough one. I try to put it on when I'm shaving my head and shit. I'm trying to get through it just to kind of get up to speed.
Get done with it, yeah.
Yeah, the new one looks fucking great.
Well, do you need to watch the original? Is it a remake or is it like a continuation?
The book is famous, like a real, from Frank Herbert is a famous like sci-fi thing from the like the 70s or something. It's like the best book, one of the best, most acclaimed sci-fi books ever. But obviously the adaption was shite.
Yeah.
So they're doing it over and it looks amazing. It's got a lot of big actors and stars in it and stuff, but like Josh Brolin, I'm a big fan of him. And I don't know, it looks good. So I think I might abandon the old one and just get with the new one, you know? What movie did I see recently that I wanted to... Oh, what did I just see that just came out? Talk to me. It's a superhero.
What did you just see? Squid Game.
Stop it. No, I didn't see Squid
Game. It's good. You might like it.
I tried to watch it with the sub... And I did it with the dubbed voices. And I go, I'm out.
No. Watch it with the subtitle because the acting is so good, man. It's really, really intense.
You know what? With the subtitles, it takes you right out. I mean, not with the subtitles, with the voice dubs.
Fuck the dubs. I couldn't watch that either. Watch with the subtitles because they're all really great actors.
I'm going to do that because it was not easy to get through when it's I started watching. I turned it right off. I'm going to do it again and I'm going to read it. But I watched Venom 2 with the family and it was fun. If you enjoyed the first Venom, you'll enjoy the second one. I think is an upgrade. It was fun. I really like Tom Hardy. And the way he interacts with the Venom thing is cute. It's almost like he's talking to himself, it's like a split personality type thing, but it's not because it's a being attached to him. But anyway, and then Woody Harrison's always great. So he was like the bad guy in it. And I enjoyed it. It's fun. It was just a fun movie. I'm not saying it's phenomenal. I'm just saying it's fun. It's no the Suicide Squad. It's not that. Because that was good. That was real. That was great.
I never saw that.
Oh my God, it's so great. The end of that movie gets me emotional.
Why?
Well, there's a part when Ratcatcher 2 says something and she has a flashback with her and her father. And it's just kind of, Jimmy, it gets you emotional.
Does it?
Look at this. This is not good. Because notice how my shirt looks nice now. But look at this when I go to fix the collar. Look at this.
What's wrong with it?
No, there's a hole in it. I just saw a hole in my shirt. Hold on.
Oh, look. Yeah, a little one. Yeah. See, well, there's supposed to be a hole in it or your head wouldn't come through, but I know what you mean now, the other hole.
You've been coming at me lately with some fucking good.
No, that was a good one. Come on.
Jimmy, let's discuss the fights. Okay. Let's do it. Let's discuss them. I want to discuss a few. All right.
Okay, buddy.
And then we get Mackenzie Dern on. Do you want to just discuss the main card? What do you want to do?
Sure.
Let's start with the very. Oh wow, wow! Phil Hayes.
Phil Hawes, is fighting,
Hayes, right?
Hawes.
Hawes.
Yep.
Let's call the whole. It's Hawes.
Yeah.
Oh, in Venom 2, they had a little scene when it's like tomato, 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 tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. When that was going on, you know, I thought of me singing. All right, Jimmy, so you got Phil Hawes versus Deron Wynn. Now, listen, as much as I like Phil Hawes, why do you think I'm going to go with Deron Wynn? Tell me why you think I'm going with him. Hold on. Tell me why.
I think.
Why do you think I'm going? If he needs a pair of gi pants, I can lend him mine.
Because he's a littler fella.
He's a little nugget like me. Listen to me. Team short and stocky.
Phil Hawes has a 7.5-inch reach and is 6 inches taller. So, and obviously the leg it is going to be a lot longer too, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. I got you. Deron Wynn decision.
I'm going to take Hawes second round stoppage due to that reach.
Well, listen, man, I think you should think about your pick, and I think you should pause with the Hawes right there. Bang, bang. I'm telling you, right back at you. You want to do some cringy shit? I'll play some cringy shit.
I don't mind. You? I like cringy shit.
Yeah, because we're going to just be like this with each other. Yucky. All right, listen, let's go to the next one. Oh, well, now we just talked to Sabina. I like where her head's at. I do.
Yeah.
You know? And she's fighting, and Marina Sazo, Sabina Sazo, and she's coming off a loss. We didn't really discuss that. We should have.
Yeah.
We were too busy getting to know about Colombia. She she's fighting Maria
Agapova.
Agapova.
Yep.
Okay. She's coming off a loss too. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, they both got something to prove.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to say Sabina by decision.
I'm going to give her a second round sub.
Well, you give it what you like. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying what I said. All right, let's see what we got. Oh, Tim Elliott.
Yeah.
Big fan, Tim Elliott.
Against
awkward MMA. What?
Yeah, no, I agree. I can't believe he's 6-9 in the UFC. That's hard to.
Yeah, but he's entertaining.
He always is fun to watch.
No, he's always a fight away from snatching a limb. 4-1 in the UFC, 28 years old. Second stint in the UFC after being released in 2019. He's got something to prove, and he looks like he did the right thing when he was out. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But Tim Elliott, I think, you know, listen, James Krause is not. Is not giving him bad advice.
No.
And with James Krause in his corner, I think things are going to happen. Good things. Good things are going to happen.
I'm going to take Nikolai by decision.
Okay. All right. I take Tim Elliott by submission. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I said right there?
Yeah.
I know you're looking at that Brazilian flag going, oh, but he's a Brazilian guy. Jiu-jitsu. Okay? But, you know, listen to me. You say tomato, I say tomato, 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 tomato. Hey, let's call the whole thing off. So, Jimmy, the next one is Randy, our friend Randy Brown. He's such a cute. I like his sweet cheeks when you smile at me like that. We got Randy Brown.
Yes, we do.
Versus Jared Gooden.
Both coming off a win and a loss in their last two fights.
You know what? This is kind of, listen, if I'm a little biased. I see Randy Brown. Randy Brown is at Sarah BJJ often. He's at Sarah BJJ working his ground game, you know, when he's not with his sensei Nardu,
right?
You know, that's his guy. Nardu's a good friend of mine. Nardu Deborah. I like him a lot. Very zen-like. But he's been on the show. But this is the thing. I'm going to say I'm going with Randy Brown in this.
Okay, yeah.
Randy Brown is going to win. And it's going to be fucking crazy, dude. Second round finish in a fucking bloodbath. This fight.
Yeah.
It's going to be insane. Someone's not walking out of there. And I'm saying Randy Brown's going to be victorious.
Randy by decision.
Well, listen, I said what I said. You say what you say.
I take Randy by decision.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, how are you guys?
Welcome back.
She's always smiling, Jimmy.
She should be. She's 11-1. She's a killer.
Yeah, that too. By the way, honestly, because the weight is good, then everything's happy, you know?
Yeah.
The weight's good? You feel good with the weight?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm 117 this morning, so fight at 115, still have tomorrow, and then Friday, so that's good.
Now, what's if you know that, so you know that this cut is going really well, what would be a bad place for you to be today? Like, oh, this is going to be a hard one.
Probably like maybe 7 pounds over, like I was in 2000 before I got pregnant and I had those bad weight cuts.
Oh, wow.
But I was like 120, I don't know, maybe seven, like 2 days before the fight. So that was bad.
Wow. You had to lose 12 pounds. Wow. So what did you do differently? Like, is there a nutritional thing you're doing, or what's like making this a lot easier for you? Or are you just starting it at a better time?
Well, I'm very lucky because every woman's experience during the pregnancy is different, of course. But during my pregnancy, I didn't train. I've been training since I'm 3 years old, you know? So I totally was, not that I was burnt out, but I was like, I didn't make weight on my last fight in Rio. There's all these critics, you know, all these things. So when I found out I was pregnant, it was a big surprise. I'm like, man, I need some time to just stay away from it at all, you know? So I didn't train and I gained 3 pounds in my pregnancy. So that was very, very little. My daughter, she just sucked everything out of me, like growing inside of me, you know, all the fat and muscle too. You know, I was so skinny when she was born. So I was able to kind of just start from zero. And then, yeah, my daughter is my biggest motivation, you know, just to stay professional. At that time, I was just like partying and having fun and taking all the hype and all the attention from, you know, as being like new UFC upcoming, you know, didn't really think about, you know, the belt or anything like that. Now I think about the belt. I think about being like Hall of Fame, all these things. And so it's just a different, more mature, you know, more mature fighter, woman, mom, wife. You realize that, okay, that style that I was living, you know, when it was just me by myself, I could win one fight or the other, you know, but just very temporary. I lost sponsors. I lost fans, you know, like so fast, you know, and now that I have my family, it's so valuable for me. It's like, okay, this is our circle and we're going to go all the way to the belt. And you start seeing how the things like, okay, win after win, like submission, things are flowing, you know, you start to attract people next to you. Like I have Coach Perillo now that's just making everything easier, you know? So it's just easier to stay focused, you know? So definitely this new like focus for my daughter, my family is helping me to just stay on track with my weight and stuff. Not that I don't have fun. I still have fun, you know?
Right, right.
That's why you've been posting Champ Mom.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's good. It keeps you grounded, you know, because now you have your unit and now you got to concentrate on what's ahead of you.
Yeah. And, you know, I think people saw a lot of potential in me, but they saw the potential in me before I even saw the potential in me. You know, like I kind of went into the UFC. I kind of went into MMA just because people like, oh, you should do it. You do so good. You know, I was winning everything in jiu-jitsu. So kind of looking for something new, like more a bigger goal, you know, just test myself, you know. But not because I was in there like, okay, thinking I'm going to go and be like the champion. I think like Dana, that's why they signed me before I even did one MMA fight, you know, they like signed me already, put, you know, because people, I think they saw like, okay, she has potential, but she needs to find that. And then now I realized, like, okay, now I understand what people saw in me, you know? So now I'm starting to get there. And this is just the beginning of my first main event. I'm so excited. We were really hoping to get here. I think all the UFC fighters, when you go in and we sign the posters, we're hoping like one day our face will be on the post. So it's really, really cool.
Do you feel an additional pressure being the main event? Because now all the media stuff, you're the biggest name. So do you feel like this additional pressure or obligation because you have to do more media than normal?
No, it's almost the same media, you know, it's been about the same. So I definitely like the pressure though. I've always fought like even in jiu-jitsu, the big events, I've always fought better than like the regional events. You know, I think I feel more pressure when it's just like, you kind of have like this obligation to win, you know, and stuff like that. But when you need to like really step up to the plate and show and prove yourself, then I kind of grow to that, you know? So I'm really excited. I was hoping for this opportunity. I think now I have like a lot of fans, you know, but I think now, if anyone didn't know me, they'll know me now, you know, because I mean, they may not even watch too much UFC, but at least you're going to watch the main fight, right?
And since you had one loss was decision, you've had four straight wins, three of them have been submissions. So you've been on a roll since like that loss. Did that change anything for you, or did that change your thinking at all? Because you've been on a tear since then.
Yeah, I mean, it's just people ask me like, oh, do you regret, you know, like, is that something you wish you could take off, you know, like that, to come back to the US? And man, that like one loss is so good for me. You know, it's part of my story, you know, of like my comeback, you know, even though I wanted to come back early, you know. And also too, I mean, it was very good for me to just kind of see the people around me. Then my pregnancy was kind of like, you see people pampering you a little bit, you know, and you didn't realize that people are pampering, you know, like as a mom, I think they don't know, they see the baby, they're crying, and they don't know if they should push you more, if they can really hit you, you know, in sparring and all these trainings. And I'm kind of like, man, I want the people to really be able to like push me, you know. I don't want people to just say yes to me all the time and say what they think you want to hear, you know. I really need someone to always be like honest with me the whole time. So it's good. It's so important, that lesson I learned in my life. And I think that helped me evolve so much.
I love that you're with Jason Perillo, because I think he's phenomenal. I don't think he's talked about enough. I know we talk about him a bunch, you know. I know he got Bisping to the title. He's been with a BJ Penn forever back in the day. But Jason Perillo is a great coach. And what impresses me a lot with you, Mackenzie, is I love your jiu-jitsu. I love it like everybody else loves it. I'm a jiu-jitsu person. But this is one thing that I'm not going to say surprised me, but you are very game standing up. There is some world-class jiu-jitsu people that are phenomenal in their jiu-jitsu, but don't like getting tough. Don't like seeing their own blood. Not that you like it, but I'm telling you, when you're scrapping, standing up, you don't look desperate for the takedown. You look like you're dangerous. You people that are afraid of the floor. I don't want to say the wrong name. I don't want to throw it, but I forgot. I know it's in my head. Blonde girl. I don't want to say Yoda. I forgot who it is. I'm sorry, but you laid her down with a punch and then finished on the floor. So how was the transition from going to pure grappler to the striking? How'd you make that transition? Because you're doing great with it.
Yeah, I think the most important part was kind of, I got that, like that kind of that phase of my life. I was just kind of, okay, trying this and really feeling if I could handle getting punched in the face was really important, because I kind of got that out of the way, you know, with not so high ranked people. Actually, none of us were ranked at the time, you know, going through the events like LFA and Invicta and all these things. And my first couple fights in the UFC, you know, was, I think my first fight with Ashley Yoder, I'm just like punching and going at it. And, you know, I think I tried one takedown in the whole fight, you know. So now, like you said, with Perillo, he's such a great coach. And I think my ex-trainer, you know, my last trainer, just when the coach, not all the time, but a lot of time I feel that when the coach, they don't have too big of a name for themselves, they have something like to prove. They really want their fighter to win with something that they taught them, you know, and that they make it this champion. And Perillo, he's already had his name. He's been there, like you said, with BJ Penn, Chris Cyborg, Bisping, you know, all these people. I was like, man, I hope he wants to train me, you know. I'd be like, I've been out of like the MMA lab, kicked out like the Black House, you know. I'm like, I'm hoping this guy doesn't think that I'm a problem fighter, you know, that he'll want to train me. And thankfully, it's like the best thing that's happened, because he doesn't try to make me a striker. You know, he doesn't like want me to go in there and to knock them out. But all of a sudden, like, I've been with him and I've had three submissions, you know, three first round submissions. And people are like, man, your striking's gotten better. I'm like, well, they haven't even seen that much, because I've submitted in the first round with jiu-jitsu, you know. So it's like, it's the little striking that I'm showing, all because of he helps me, my striking set up for me to be the athlete that I am. That's a submission grappler. So he doesn't take me away from my roots. He doesn't try to make me a striker. But it's scary when you have someone come at you and throwing, instead of just like one haymaker that I used to throwing like these combos, you know. And like, now I understand striking is the same as ground, you know. You still have setups, you still read things, you trick them, you feign, you do. And I'm like, okay, jiu-jitsu is the same, you know. So now he got me this mentality that the people who stay the whole 2 month camp doing like takedown defense, now they have to think about these hands a little bit, and then the takedowns are easier. That's why I've got these three round submissions, you know, not just because my takedowns have gotten better. I haven't even trained that much wrestling, just because my hands have gotten better, you know.
Yeah, they have to watch out for your hands.
Yeah, sure.
Like for Doom, Fabricio Verdum always had a great freedom to throw punches because he had no fear of being taken down. It's the same with you. You have a great freedom standing up, because if it goes to the ground, you're even in better shape.
Yeah, like my fight with Randa Marcos was my first fight with Perillo. I had left Black House with 3 weeks before the fight. In just 3 weeks, he got me so confident with the striking. I came out and I did like this flying head kick. I like fell on my butt, you know, but that was just how confident I was standing up. You know, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go out there and just like throw, and, you know, and he's like, okay, let's calm down a little bit, you know, but he got me so confident because I was seeing things. I had like a base and all these things. And then thankfully she went into my guard and we got the submission, but yeah, I was ready to throw down if we needed to. And even like when I broke my nose, he's like, no, you're fine. You know? So I have such a good connection with coach, you know, he lied to me on that moment, but that was a good lie.
It's so great to have a guard, isn't it? Those people that are deathly afraid to be taken down. When you've been on your back, most of your life just snatching limbs, you're not that afraid of being taken down. So it gives you that freedom. Like Jimmy was talking about how Verdum and yourself, you could let go because worst case scenario, they go down to your world anyway. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's so good. You know, definitely we like try to take care, you know, you see like, I don't know if you guys saw like Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall, he does a lot of heel hooks and stuff.
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, it works good, you know, but in his last fight, he was just kind of like on the ground, like a little bit too, you know, just letting these punches come. You know, I'm a little bit more like, I love leg locks. I love these things, but I mean, I've gotten punched a couple of times on the ground too, you know, in sparring and stuff like that. So I definitely know, you know, you have to fight the right part, you know, we're attacking arm bars. So my plot is let's get those arms tangled up a little bit too, you know, not just on the legs, you know, because then you get those ground and pounds. So it's hard. It's hard for the jiu-jitsu people to let go of our 100% jiu-jitsu. And like you said, to not have a problem, have a chin and all these things.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you need it all. But I hear you. To be threatening off your back is priceless though. But it takes time. That's why these people with the shortcuts are just, well, just, you know, work on your sprawls, work on just getting up.
Yeah.
As you people coming up, develop a dangerous guard. You know, they don't know the importance of a dangerous bottom game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that like, man, you see, for example, you slip and fall, even they know that you're a ground person, but it's that instinct like, oh, I'm going to come and ground and pound them, you know? So it's something that's very, unless they're totally like 100% focused, maybe 8 out of 10 times the people are going to jump into the guard, you know, and think that they're just going to ground and pound. So it's very, the only thing is the judges, right? The judges, they don't understand that sometimes like, okay, they're on the bottom, but they're actually doing more damage than the person on top, you know? So, but thankfully I don't like to go to the judge's decision. I'm always like, let's go finish first round. You know, I don't think we're going to go 5 rounds in this fight. I think we're going to go just one. So, but I'm ready to go 5. Let's do it.
Is this your first 5-round fight?
My first 5-round fight. Yes.
Now, was the training different for you or do you train typically for more than 3 rounds?
Yeah, we've been training for a 5-round fight for a while now, you know, just hoping, you know, that the opportunity would come soon. Or even just like, hey, if we get like a last minute call or something like that, we'd be ready. So
right.
He enjoys like watching the girls just go at it and punch each other and trying to kill each other. He's like, yeah, good. Yeah, that's it. You know, so he's putting me into spar with the guys, the girls, with everyone, you know, so Cheeto Vera, he trains with us. So it's fun.
Marina is 6 and there's some killers in the top 4 as well, of course, as well as Rose. So anybody after this fight, and I know you have to get through this fight first, but there are no easy fights at the top of this division. And do you see yourself, obviously you want to fight for a title, this is your 12th, your 13th fight. What do you think your path is? Like if you wanted to get a title shot, what do you think the necessary stuff to do would be?
No, I think for a title fight, for my next fight, I just need to go in there and do like a perfect performance, you know, getting it out, just kind of wipe the octagon clean, you know, like, okay, next one kind of thing. Now I'm not in like a rush. So definitely that will be like my 5th win, straight win. I'll be kind of tied with Carla Sparza. She has 5 straight wins. Carla was a ex-champion, you know, the first strawweight champion. But if, let's say I win this fight, that's what I'm thinking. This fight for me, this is a title fight, you know, because it's so, it's going to be a big difference, you know, on who goes for the title next and all that. So I'm not even thinking about Rose. I'm thinking this is a title fight for me because if I get past this, like, good, you know, I'm going for that title, you know. So, but if I win and maybe like it's a little bit hard fight, we see some holes, I don't have a problem getting another fight in and trying to just, you know, do our homework and really be 100% prepared to be the champ and stay the champ. You know, I don't want to champ and then lose it on the first, you know, defense. You know, I want to be the champ, maybe go up a weight, just see different things that we can accomplish as a champion.
Well, Mackenzie, congratulations on your first main event. You against Marina Rodriguez this Saturday night. That's a really, really good fight. And I'm happy for you that you got the main event. And, you know, good luck in this fight. And I look forward to seeing you eventually get a title shot. I would love to see you against Rose or Wiley or whoever is at the top.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. Always great talking with you. And let's do it. I hope to put on a good show for you guys.
I'm sold. I'm taking Mackenzie. I'm going to say second round submission.
I was going to say that, but since you said it, you know what? I'm going to give her a first round submission.
Man, well, you listen. You say first. You say first. I say second.
It's fair.
Second.
First.
First.
Second.
Let's call the whole thing. Oh, Jimmy, I love you so much.
I love you too.
Who are you picking? You picked her. We're picking Mackenzie.
Mackenzie, first round.
What do you want to plug, my friend?
Just if you want to see me, I'm going to be in Atlanta this Thursday, Friday, Saturday at the Punchline, and go get yourself a Cameo, cameo.com/Jim Norton. I'm not on the app. I'm only online.
Hey, man, I'm on everywhere on Cameo, Matt Serra. And Matt Serra BJJ on Instagram. Serra BJJ, I'm sorry, I burped when I did that. I belched inside. SerraBJJ.com if you want a fucking T-shirt or something, you know?
Sure.
And I'm always at my school spreading jiu-jitsu love. Jimmy, the fights of this weekend, do we have a proper read on those?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, and I'm sorry, the Dana White, I know we just to get the winners who got the contract, because the fights were great. The fights were fantastic. Mike Malott looked phenomenal. He looked fucking phenomenal, dude. And he did a guillotine in like 39 seconds of round one. He's the striking coach over at Alpha Male. Now his jiu-jitsu is phenomenal. Man, amazing. And Carlos Hernandez won by split decision. Also awesome. Who else? Ferny Garcia. He won PKO, even though he missed. Hey, who missed weights on that one? Oh, no. Josh Weems is the one who missed weight on that. And then really quick, who else got the, who else fought? Joseph Holmes. Nice, very nice submission, rear naked choke in the second round. Had to deal with some adversity in the first round, but got it done in the second round. And I was very impressed with Gennaro Valdez took out Patrick White with in the second
nice
round.
Nice TKO, yeah.
Yeah, Jimmy. So, hey, man, congrats to everybody. Got yes. the contract. And I'll talk to you over the weekend, my friend.
Yes, I can't wait for these fights. Take care, Matt.
Bye, Jimmy.
See you, buddy.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.